Hey folks, welcome to episode 344 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I wonder, did Murphy Brown's bastard child turn out okay? On today's episode, Fantastic Four 344 from September 1990, Newt Busters 2 by Walter Simonson. The Fantastic Four are rushing to save the world. However, it's not their world. It's a parallel timeline where Stalin is still alive and Dan Quayle is president. And both the U.S. and the Soviet Union have launched their nuclear missiles, and the FF are now flying over Europe in a last-ditch effort to save the planet from nuclear annihilation. The door to the ship opens up, and we see Reed Richards holding an EMP gun, electromagnetic pulse gun. And this particular gun is like a cannon. This is the 1990s, and Walter Simonson has totally embraced the concept of the oversized, ridiculously proportioned gun. Reed explains that the EMP guns will destroy the computer software inside the missiles, rendering their guidance systems inoperable, and the missiles will just fall like rocks. Johnny flies off with a large EMP gun of his own, and he's the first to take a shot. Soon, everyone in the FF is taking shots at the missiles that are flying by, and the deactivated missiles all start falling to the ground. Next, everyone gets back into the ship, and Reed tells them to plot a course to Moscow. Sue suggests that they probably won't be happy to have visitors. Reed then puts on a headset and he calls up the White House. He gets President Quayle on the line and tells him that the future of the world is at stake and the FF needs 6 hours. Johnny chimes in and tells Reed that the Soviets are about to launch some missiles of their own. So Johnny and Sharon grab some EMP guns, open up a door, and as the Soviet missiles fly by, they shoot them down. Back with the Soviets, they can't believe their missiles are falling to the ground unarmed. A Red General orders that the FF ship be destroyed. Back with Reed, he tells the President that they just deactivated a bunch of Soviet missiles, which proves their good faith, and once again, he asks for more time. Down on the ground, the Soviets lock onto the FF's plane with a surface-to-air missile. They start to fire, but before they can fire, the plane disappears, like it has some kind of stealth technology. Like it turned invisible. I wonder how that happened. Back with President Quayle, his aides confirm that some Soviet missiles were shot down, and Quayle agrees to give the FF a few more hours to work on whatever it is they're doing. Soon, the FF land their plane on the outskirts of Moscow and hitch a ride into the city on the back of, ironically, a potato truck. They reach the Kremlin. Sue lifts them over the wall and the barbed wire with a force field. Reed neutralizes the building's alarms. Sharon rips open a door, and Johnny flames on a hand to light the way, and the five of them sneak inside. Sharon has to knock out a guard who stumbles upon them, and Reed has a device to track an electromagnetic field which he's trying to locate inside the building. He says it seems to be coming from the basement. Ben says he thought they were supposed to be looking for Joseph Stalin, and Reed replies that he could tell that the exoskeleton that Stalin is wearing puts out a strong electromagnetic field, so that might be the best place to find the 111-year-old Soviet leader. They turn a corner and come upon a whole troop of Soviets who fire at the FF. Sue puts up a force field real quick to block the bullets. They find this huge metal door and they run inside. But the Soviets shut the door behind them, saying that the Americans are now trapped inside. So the FF realize their predicament, so they start looking around, finding some steps and heading upstairs. They keep walking up and down through various tunnels, and finally into this large lab, which seems deserted. But a Russian voice speaks up and says, "Not entirely, comrades. I have the pleasure of addressing the Fantastic Four, do I not? But somewhat differently ordered than I had been led to believe." The FF look around the room, but they don't see anyone. Johnny wonders if he's an invisible person too. But then, from out of the wall comes this big Soviet robot, an exoskeleton worn by Joseph Stalin. He immediately smashes Reed upside the face, and Ben reacts by firing a gun at him, and Johnny hits him with some flames. Stalin says that he's safe and sound inside his robot, and noting that the FF can do nothing to harm him. But if Johnny keeps shooting so many flames, he might use up all the air in the room and suffocate the FF. Next, Stalin soaks Johnny with a huge spray of flame-retardant foam, knocking him to the floor. Sharon grabs the robot, while Sue heads to the top of the robot, where Stalin's head is sticking out, and she pelts him with little invisible balls. Stalin tosses Sharon aside, and Ben opens up this briefcase he was carrying and takes out his thing exoskeleton, and he starts putting it on. And just as Stalin is about to crush Sue to death, Ben grabs the Stalin bot by the leg and topples him over. And now, as you can imagine, it's clobbering time. Ben suggests to Sharon that they go pound the shit out of the Stalin bot, so they grab the robot and start wrestling with it. Sue puts up a force field around Stalin's head, hoping to suffocate him, but Stalin just picks up Ben and Sharon off the ground, and suddenly, he drops the two things when Reed blasts Stalin with a ray from his EMP gun, frying the circuits of the suit, and seemingly killing Joseph Stalin. They look over at Stalin, and notice that his hat has fallen off, and beneath his hat, more metal. Turns out this Stalin was just a robot. 100% robot. Later, outside that big metal door, where the FF and the Stalin bot were trapped inside together, a bunch of Soviet troops are standing around waiting. But then the door opens, and out comes the Stalin bot. In Russian, he says, "Let me introduce you all to the motherland's newest heroes, the Fantastic Four." And out walk the Fantastic Four, as calm as can be. The Soviets are surprised. One of them says, "But that's impossible. The Fantastic Four are among the worst tools of the decadent capitalistic democracy." Stalin says, "Those days are over, and he's spoken to them and come to an agreement." Reed whispers to this one guy who seems to be in charge, a comrade Spinsky. How would the Soviet soldiers react if they were to find out that they've been taking orders from an animated electronic dummy built in America? Spinsky just sweats and says he'll agree with whatever the Stalin bot says. And the Stalin bot wants all the Soviet leaders to resign their posts. And he wants this new guy, Mikhail Gorbachev, to succeed him as the Russian leader. So Stalin says to contact President Quayle and call off the war. And all the troops cheer. And then Stalin drops dead. Gorbachev says that without his armor, Stalin's heart must have gave out on him. And then Gorbachev demands to be put in contact with President Quayle. Comrade Spinsky whispers to Reed that he must have reprogrammed the Stalin bot, and Reed reminds him that he better be quiet about that Stalin robot stuff. So the FF say their goodbyes and head on back to the United States. Reed concludes that the real Stalin did die in 1952, but in this timeline, the Inner Circle wanted to maintain power, so they created the phony robot Stalin. Back at FF headquarters, Ben is telling Alicia that Reed is working on the time sled and they'll be returning to their own timeline soon, and hopefully her Ben will return to hers. She gives him a kiss, much to the dismay of the She-Thing, who thinks to herself that she must be crazy to think that Ben could love a rock monster like her. So later, they're all on the time sled. Reed tells Alicia that he left some notes for her version of Reed Richards about everything that went on in this timeline. Johnny says that he can't believe that this Alicia reminds him so much of his wife, and he can't believe that here, she's married to Ben. Now, Ben is the last person to hop on the time sled, and he waves goodbye to Alicia, and Sharon reminds him there ain't no point in waving. She can't see it. The issue ends with the other Reed Richards arriving home and finding that note from the real Reed Richards on his desk. So Reed hits the ignition, and the time sled takes off, and they're going zipping off through time, and that brings to close another Walt Simonson tale, a showdown between President Dan Quayle and Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin. Yeah, that's a pretty crazy idea, but it made for a fun story. And as always, Walt's art is top-notch. Another winner from Mr. Simonson. So that's it for now. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. You can join the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/podcastff. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.